Hey folks, it is Sunday night, January 8th, 2017, and you're listening to episode 52 of the AIH Superfans podcast. I am one of your superfan pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
Hey, it's Ryan, also known as RB underscore 18.
And we have a special guest on tonight. John Malloy is joining us for the second time on the Superfans. On Twitter, you can find him at JMall95. John, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pappy is out tonight. Phil was going to join us, but we went to the game together yesterday, and I guess he got sick, so hopefully I'm not going to get what he has. And Brian is MIA at the moment, but if he signs in, we'll definitely get him to join us.
So he fell asleep again.
Maybe. No, I was gonna
say that, Phil's been MIA for a while. Did you actually go to the game with him?
It was really him. That's actually what I said when he got in my car. I'm like, he's alive.
So it's not some Westworld stuff going on?
No. It's the real guy. He was really there. Okay. I swear to God. So let's start with that game, that Buffalo game. I guess, you know, we could recap the game, and maybe we will in a second, but of course, the news that everybody's talking about is what happened in the third period, and not the three goals that the Jets surrendered to lose.
That's what I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah?
We'll get in.
Sure, we have plenty of time.
Okay.
But, somewhere around the middle of the third period, basically coming through the neutral zone, let's be honest, Scheifele gives a suicide pass to Liney. Liney's kind of got his head down to get the puck, and he gets clobbered by Jake McCabe. Just hammered. Like, he goes straight down like a ton of bricks. He's not moving. You know, your standard scrum happens after that. I can tell you from being in the arena, people went like fucking apeshit in the arena. And then we're sitting there and we're like, okay, they stop the play. They're tending to him on the ice. We're kind of like, okay, replay anytime. Let's see the replay. Nothing on the scoreboard for like the full 5 minutes of the stoppage. They didn't show it again. So we had to wait to see it on Twitter. And, finally when it came up, looked pretty clean to me. What'd you guys think?
Absolutely. It's unfortunate. It's sad, but it was 100% a clean hit. Probably could have been prevented without the pass, but it's just, you know, it's the way it goes. It's horrible, and hopefully we get him back soon.
Yeah, I'm surprised that 100% of people didn't see that as clean. I mean, it's a horrible result, but if you look at the time of impact, like, McCabe's feet are on the ice, and his hands are down, and he looks like he's about to put the shoulder into the logo. And if it wasn't for their coconuts bonging together, I'm pretty sure this would have been a really solid, you know, shot to the sternum. But the real damage was clearly done when they crushed skulls. But no, clean hits. He was in the trolley tracks thanks to Scheifele pass. And yeah, I tweeted that out. If you're going to be mad at anybody, get mad at 55 for setting up his line mate for the destruction.
It's true. It was very textbook. Like, that's what's going to happen a lot of times when you come through the middle. And of course, if it had been reversed and that had been Bufflin on Eichel, Jets fans would be so proud, right? They'd be so happy.
Which people are calling for, I might add. They're saying, you know, it's all vigilante justice. Let's go get their guy now. It's just, it's sad, you know.
Brian, are you there?
I am.
Were you late because you were sad still over the big hit?
I am. I was incredibly sad. I still am.
Brian, at Brian from AIH, has joined us as well. Yeah, like, I mean, it's not uncommon, obviously, for hockey fans of any team to be calling for that kind of justice, but I think it's total bullshit that you sit there and go, oh, well, he took our guy out, so now their players had better watch the hell out. It's like, if it happens in the course of the gameplay, like the line he hit did, like if Eichel or Reinhardt or somebody gets fed, the same kind of pass up the middle and he gets clobbered, then absolutely go for it. But don't go out of your way to hurt people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, bang on. This isn't unique to Winnipeg, right? It's just a classic homer overreaction. Star player gets hurt, young player gets hurt, fans are overreacting. But we're just a few days removed from Toronto fans getting mad at Austin Matthews for tweeting the American flag emoji. So,
oh, that was ridiculous, too.
people are hashtag bad. People are... it's whatever, you know. It's just a classic homer overreaction.
Yeah, I think the most frustrating thing about it was that, you know, now that's what everybody's talking about. Meanwhile, you gave up a 2-goal lead to the Buffalo Sabres and lost a game, a very winnable game, a game that you had complete control of for two periods, and all of a sudden the team melts down. And that meltdown wasn't after the hit. The Sabres tied it up. It was 3-3 when the hit took place.
Yeah.
That's what Phil and I were sitting there going. I said to Phil after the game, I was like, so Phil, if I told you at the end of the second period that the Jets would give up a 3-goal lead and Liney would get knocked out of the game, would you think that I was trolling you? Yeah, and that's precisely what happened. So
it's been a long time since I've seen any team go Harlem Globetrotters on the Winnipeg Jets. But like they were skating circles around them, and it's the Buffalo Sabres. Like they're not very good.
No, but, they're not.
Like even Wheeler after the game, they said they just buzzsawed them, and that's a perfect term for it. Like they were unstoppable until they took the lead, and even then they kept pushing. Like there was no score effects. It was Buffalo till the buzzer almost.
Well, the Jets had outshot the Sabres in the first two periods. I think it was 30-20 between the two periods, if I recall correctly. By the end of the game, Buffalo had taken the lead in the shots. Like it was absolute domination in the third period. I'm just trying to find the box score on NHL.com's shitty website. It was Marcus Foligno's goal that I couldn't believe. Like he got fed a breakaway pass like right there on the blue line, and it wasn't like a stretch pass. It was like from their side of center, and he gets the puck, and he's off to the races by himself. And it was like, I looked at Phil, and I'm like, how does that happen? And then Gergensen, of course, scores 20 seconds after that. And then yeah, Liney gets his claw cleaned. And then Brian Gionta, who, whenever he was on the ice, somebody in our section was like, get the hell off the ice, Gionta! and then he scores.
For the veteran.
Yeah. And then he scores the game-winning goal, and Buffalo wins 4-3. They just, I don't know. But again, no talk about this. It's all about, you know, Big Bad McCabe and the big hit.
Well, it's funny, you know, because we often will see fans get mad when Dustin Byfuglien's driving offense when we've got a huge lead, but that's exactly what he should be doing, right? Like, why would you play not to lose? That's the type of outcome that's going to happen. You're going to blow a... They say it's the most dangerous lead in hockey, right? You're going to blow it if you just play passively or not to lose. Like, why would you just want to stay in your own end blocking shots? Or why would you want Byfuglien to stay in his own end and not drive offense? That allows him to play to strength, right? He doesn't have good defensive war metrics. Why ask him to play in his weakest area? It's just play not to lose. It's a dangerous game. And, it kind of cost us the game there.
Well, they were... Go ahead. Go ahead.
Are we done with this game, or I was going to sort of slide it into the road trip?
Go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, they were 20 minutes away from being home and cooled with a 3-game sweep on the Eastern Swing. And now, not only did they lose that game and not get a point, but Laine's gone. Now the roster is a mess. We'll get to that shortly. and the entire narrative has flipped. Like they were 20 minutes from being home and cooled, probably being into the eighth spot, and now another regulation loss. That they're the third team to get the 20 on the season. Like it's just such a meltdown. And I tweeted out after the game. It's like as disappointing as that Islanders game was on New Year's. This collapse, in my opinion, is worse.
They are in the last 10 games. I was looking at the standings. I have them in front of me. The Jets are 6-4. So they were almost 7-3. They were 6-4. 6-4 right now in the 10-game stretch compared to the other teams in the Western Conference is actually the third best streak. Nope. Fourth best streak. Fifth best. Sixth best. Sixth best streak. But I mean, we're, you know, San Jose is 6-3-1, Edmonton 6-2-2, and then Calgary and Winnipeg tied at 6-4. Of course, Minnesota and Vancouver are both, on fire right now. So, you know, if the Jets had won that game, they'd actually be tied with Vancouver for in that 10 game stretch for wins. So it, you know, you get those bad losses though, right? The Columbus loss, the Islanders loss, and this collapse to the Sabres, and it turns what could be a pretty good streak into still just further inconsistency and disappointment.
Eighth time is not the charm to get three straight wins.
It's unbelievable. Like, I was saying to Phil, we had a long drive home after this game, and aside from those four games that they won to end the season last year, it's like, you can't win three. Like, in 2 years, you can't win three games when it counts. That's ridiculous.
Like, look how bad the Canucks are. And didn't they start the season with a 5-game winning streak, and they just polished off a 6-game winning streak?
Yeah.
Like, it's becoming the Winnipeg Jets calling card, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
identity. Like,
you should be able to get a couple fluky goals in a week and reel off three in a row. But like, they're no stranger to losing 4, 5, 6 in a row.
Other things that were interesting from the game, Drew Stafford, I saw him score a goal, which is amazing because it never happens.
It was great value.
I saw a tweet from a Buffalo guy that during that game, and I think they were about to write off the Sabres after 40. But they said that, Stafford and Armia both scored. And they're waiting for Myers to come down from the press box to add another one.
Best trade ever.
Well, it's their third and second goals of the season. Like, it's not like they are lighting the lamp.
Now, can Myers play with his walker? Is that allowed?
Might be better than Sherratt with his walker. So if it's allowed, I'm on.
Yeah, so yeah, and then Armia, of course, scored as well. So yes, former Sabres coming back to haunt the Jets. On the flip side, Kane was on the ice during the first Buffalo goal, but didn't factor in the scoring, which, I don't know, would have been interesting, but didn't happen. There was talk about, amongst my section, which was we were sitting next to two Leafs fans who had come down for the game, and then Sabres fans sitting in front of us, and... you know, it's funny because they were not happy about, they didn't have anything to say about Kane, but I don't think that they really miss Myers or Stafford when we were talking about them, especially Stafford. They were just like, we thought, basically the guy in front of us was like, yeah, at one point we thought he'd be something, but anyways, enjoy him.
Well, we're typically saying things like when Stafford scores, like, oh, nice, yeah, increase that trade value. But don't forget that the Jets are the team that traded for him. They're the team that gave him that contract. And whenever he scores, I mean, they're probably licking their chops thinking, great, he's a good scorer. Put him on the first line. Drag that line's shot differential down even more. It's not good necessarily for us when he gets a goal like that out of nowhere, right? Like, it got him a promotion.
Yeah, we're about to get our wish.
Yeah, so as after Liney goes down and – I think it was Phil that kind of mumbled like, oh, Stafford to the top line. And sure enough, there he goes out there replacing Patrick Liney with Drew Stafford. So what a downgrade. And after the game, it's now been announced that A, Drew Stafford is going to be playing on that line with Scheifele and Ehlers until Liney is back. And secondly, his forward spot is going to be taken by Chris Thorburn.
Yep.
Yeah.
I retweeted, whoever commented on that today, calling it the saddest hockey tweet, basically, and like of all time. It was Ken Wiebe, at Wiebe Sun Sports said, head coach Paul Maurice says, Drew Stafford moves into Liney's spot with Scheifele Ehlers and Chris Thorburn draws in on Monday. I said, I've never seen so much hockey sadness in a single tweet.
Oh
yeah, I'm kind of sad that pint of bleach that I downed on Twitter yesterday didn't work. I'm gonna have to watch this.
That was a very good vibe, by the way. Very good vibe.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, that was getting some traction, too.
Yeah, it was.
Stafford, I actually wrote here Stafford to the second line, though really I guess it's the first line, and it's probably not the first line anymore, right? Like, by default now, Little Wheeler and Perreault have got to be number one, right?
Absolutely.
So, what do we think? Actually, one more thought. With Thorburn going into the lineup, unless something changes, does that mean that Mark Stewart is sitting in the press box by himself?
Yeah, I tweeted that earlier today. I said, did the Jets ever call anybody up after losing Burmistrov to waivers? And the answer to that, of course, is no. So they've been playing shy a roster spot, which I think is quite cheap of them. Because they could, I mean, I don't know, I guess the Moose were playing, so they needed all hands on deck down there, I suppose. But yeah, if right now there's only two spots. They did say after the Moose game tonight that they were going to call someone up in the morning. But yeah, it's been the Stew and Thorburn popcorn group for the on the road trip. So,
and now
they were winning too.
They had been winning, yeah. And now, but now here comes Thorburn to save the day back into the lineup. So. Is this like, you know, aside from what's happened to Liney, and of course we wish him all the best, but aside from that, is this the worst, kind of the worst case scenario that we can think of?
Sitting here trying to think of anything worse, it's not really, no, it's the worst.
Do we think it's as easy as putting, like, is it Armia that we want on that top line? Is it Patan either?
Maybe Patan, yeah.
I guess.
Anybody but Stafford, right? Like, if I saw Armia, I'd be like, okay, that's cool, whatever, we'll see. He can be a top six stopgap guy for a while Laine's out, but just not Stafford. I mean, Laine's got bad possession numbers, too. Like, they both have bad numbers, but Laine's got that elite shot, which compensates for it. Like, what does Stafford have to compensate for his poor possession play? I mean, he's just got nothing going for him. It's anybody but Stafford, I would have been okay with the replacement, really.
Like, unless the entire point is to drive up whatever nil trade value he currently has, maybe, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it is a chance to showcase him. I do think that he's going to make that line nearly unwatchable because he skates half as fast as the other two.
And Scheifele hasn't been skating too well either. Right? I mean, I swear he's playing through something right now. He looks to be at about, you know, like 75% maybe. He hasn't been too impressive this year for me.
Got dumped on his ass a few times in the game yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and he was out with something, right? Some kind of an injury that he had. And it looks like it's been nagging him all year. That's what I'd have to guess as to why he's not looking as good as he usually would. But, yeah, it's just Stafford. Yeah, it's not going to be a fun line to watch at all.
What I'm intrigued about is their insistence to keep that third line together and how happy people are with it.
They have just called it the best third line in hockey, right?
Like, oh, my God, yeah, I saw that. Like, is that line actually that good? Like, do they actually have they actually produced much? I mean, yeah, I guess possession-wise they're okay, but do they need to move Stafford up and drag Scheifele and Ehlers down in order to keep that group together? Like, Armia has, what, two goals this year? Lowry has done nothing other than when he was on the power play. That's when he scored a couple of those goals. Like, I mean, and Matthias has tipped in a couple of late, but is that line worth keeping together to drag Scheifele and Ehlers down with Stafford?
I mean, my question is, Patrick Laine, his underlying numbers aren't great, but obviously he isn't a massive offensive weapon. So you replace him with Stafford, who doesn't have any better numbers and isn't terribly creative and isn't much of a weapon himself. Wouldn't you just be better off saying, you know what, fuck it, let's put Patan there? Like somebody that has some creativity to play alongside Ehlers?
Or at least someone that can keep up with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kopp can play center too, right? So you can put him there at fourth. You need to replace the center. He can play center. That seems like the most logical move to me would be to have Patan on that line, but Stafford is.
Yeah, I'd rather have Burmistrov on the top line.
That's great. Actually, I think I was saying it would yesterday at the game. I said to Phil, it would be amazing if down the road Arizona traded Bermie and got something back for him, and then. After Liney got hurt, Phil was like, maybe we can trade for Bermie.
Nah, I don't think Bermie's netting anything on the trade market, but God, wouldn't that be something?
I would have so much fun with that.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Let me write that down. Yeah. Oh, geez. I was going to say something else about the game, but I've since forgot. I don't know. It was a fun experience. Buffalo's got a nice arena. They announced a sellout. It was so they sold every ticket. It was, I'd say, three quarters full. Like, it looked full. On TV, I'm sure it looked fine, but there were little pockets of empty seats. But Buffalo, always a good time for hockey. I will say, in listening to Sabres coverage on the way home, no better than anything in Winnipeg. They described Buffalo as having defeated the, quote, red-hot Winnipeg Jets.
Two in a row, red-hot.
Maybe they got sunburnt in Florida. That's why they were all red-hot.
Literally.
So there was that, and lots of talk in Buffalo. Oh, the Sabres, still right there. It's like, well, they're actually one team that's worse off than the Jets, and the Jets aren't there. So where do we stand now? Jets 19-20-3, 41 points in 42 games. That puts them, I believe, fourth last right now in the conference. Behind them are Dallas, who have a few games, in hand. And, then we have Arizona and Colorado, who are going to be very likely at the bottom for the rest of the season. Colorado is just absolute dog shit. Like,
and Arizona's not too far behind. Like, they're both. Someone tweeted the other day the winning percentages, worst winning percentages in the post lockout era, and both of them are like in the bottom six or seven. Colorado's could be the worst team ever in the post lockout era. So,
horrible. Colorado has scored 79 goals in 39 games. So, like, two a game. Like, a team with. They have some offensive weapons. Can't do anything.
In the top half of their lineup, yeah, but there's just absolutely no secondary scoring at all. Like, literally none.
Oh, it's hideous, right? So anyways, actually, oddly enough, the Jets, pretty good with the goals for 116 in the conference right now. And of course, they've played, you know, two or three or four more games than some of the teams, but still that puts them in the top five within the conference. It's the goals against. Can't keep pucks out of the net. They're third last in the, and again, having played a few more games, but to put it into perspective, Arizona and Colorado, who have played two and three fewer games than the Jets, have given up 128 and 130 goals. The Jets have given up 126. That's not good.
Hellebuck, the defense hasn't been terrible. Like, Hellebuck's been pretty much league average at 5-on-5, right? But it's just still that hideous penalty kill that's just, it's like an extra goal per game, essentially, that's getting added, and it's killing them once again.
That Tampa game wasn't so hot for goaltending, obviously. It was a 6-4 win for the Jets still. I think it was 6-4, but not the best goaltending in that game. Not terrible, but not good numbers.
First period, really good, right?
Yeah.
For Hellebuck, like, he had like 17 saves or something like that. But then, third period, the team kind of fell apart.
And then Maurice decided to roll the dice and go back-to-back with Hellebuck for the Florida game. And Hellebuck was great in that game. And in this game here in Buffalo, getting the third start in a row, he was fine. Like, you couldn't put any of those goals on him.
Oh, the first one was pretty poor, but the one that went through his wickets and Toby's wickets late in the first.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one. Sorry, we were sitting far away. I couldn't see that well.
Okay. It looked like he was biting on the pass pretty hard, and it just, yeah. Well, and Trouba's turnover to create the goal, that was just, everybody looked pretty bad on that goal.
Yeah, which was interesting because the Buffalo goalie, what's his name?
Liner?
Yeah, Liner, yeah. Liner, he bit so hard on Line A shooting.
It was the exact opposite, right?
Exact opposite, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then when Liney fed it over to Ehlers actually whiffed on the puck initially, and he still had time to put it in the net.
Yeah.
All right, so this week coming up, anything else on the, I should say before we move on the road trip, on the Buffalo game, on the hit?
Hopefully Laine's not out long term, but yeah, if people live under a rock, he's out with a concussion officially, and I don't know. I mean, looking at the damage to McCabe's face from his own visor, they bonked pretty hard, so.
A concussion is bad, and you know, it's the first one, and hopefully you never have it happen again, but this, I don't know what his concussion history has been prior to the NHL, but once you start on this road, it sometimes isn't pretty, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, Crosby is the, you know, probably the perfect example of, you know, an extreme talent that when he's on the ice and healthy, he's unbelievable, but he spends some time on the IR due to his unfortunate concussion issues, so hopefully Laine can avoid that, because this team needs him, and needs him long term. So I hope they don't rush him back for the sake of a chase for the ninth spot this year.
It's scary to think that if we didn't win that lottery pick, we wouldn't even have Laine anyway. So this is what the team would probably look like anyway, right? Without Laine, it's just ugh.
We would have had like Matthew Tkachuk. Would have been great.
Yeah, he's actually been awesome in Calgary.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets weren't doing worse than eighth, I think, in that lottery, if I remember correctly. So, you know, we would have been okay, but obviously Laine.
Yeah, we would have probably gotten an NHL player there. That's true.
But I mean, like, yeah, I mean, Patrick Laine is a special player, so.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they go without him and how long that lasts. And yes, all the best to Patrick Laine, because I know he's listening to this show as he plays video games and recovers. All right, what have we got here? Really quickly, I actually didn't have it on the initial lineup, but did everybody catch any of the World Junior Final?
Well, I was just going to say about the first round picks. I wonder if how Dubois is feeling after missing that tap in late in the third.
Oh,
Pierre-Luc.
Yeah, like Lowry hands on that. That was
bad. Oh, it was such a nice little pass.
And he's having not a great year right now either. Like, he's having a worse year than the year before. I don't know what's going on there with him. I can't say I follow him too closely, but kind of a weird situation developing there.
Columbus Blue Jackets, of course, shocking the world, picking him third. And, I mean, Puljujarvi hasn't exactly been lighting things on fire in Edmonton yet, but, you know, we're still talking about 18-year-old rookies, right?
That was one of the funny stories of the summer, that they didn't have his name bar ready. They just were not expecting Columbus to screw that up, and they didn't have a name bar for him. They lucked into him. Edmonton gets lucky at the lottery once again.
Yeah, I had a friend at the draft who was in the Oilers press box, and that's a story he told us after. They're like, "What?" But everybody in the arena gasped when that happened. So.
But on the other side of that, though, they just burned his first RFA year, and he's playing, 2 minutes a game when he's not scratched? So it's Edmonton. They'll still mess it up somehow.
Of course they will. Of course they will.
Very true.
So other than that, Canada, of course, in the World Juniors, got to the finals. They lost 5-4 via shootout. Only one goal scored in the shootout in the first five shooters by the U.S. to win it. The U.S. had to win a shootout to get to the final. The Canadians gave up a 2-0 lead and a 4-2 lead. The third period and the overtime were awesome. And it ended in a shootout, which, you know, I'm okay with it. I know people hate the shootout. When Toronto FC lost in a shootout to Seattle, there was a lot of "please love my sport" tweets about, "Oh, hockey, they'd never do that." And it was like, well, they do. Like, other than the Stanley Cup playoffs, every hockey game in the NHL that's tied goes to a shootout, and in international play, it's all decided in a shootout, so I don't know what people are talking about.
I don't know. I think I hate the shootout to decide important games, like regular season games. I don't really care about. Yeah, in the long, you know, you got to end on time so that they can catch the airplane. You can't keep playing. But
I mean, the networks too, right? Like NBC, or I think NBC is the one that covers Stanley Cup. They must hate the overtime in playoffs.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to be on TV for 5 hours with a hockey game.
For sure. I do think that they should try other avenues though. Go to 4-on-4 or 3-on-3. Like if you go to 3-on-3, the game's not going to go 20 minutes. It's just how many 3-on-3 overtimes are going to go 20 minutes like that overtime period went. Something's going to be resolved. Like so many of the NHL games don't make it to the shootout now. And that's only 5 minutes. Like, just give them a chance to end the game. Give them a longer chance.
And go ahead.
If it goes 20, then do the shootout. But I hate the shootout to decide gold medals. I think it's silly in a World Cup of soccer. I think it's silly that it ends like that. But I don't know how else you do it, I guess.
I'd almost be for getting rid of the shootout in the NHL altogether and just saying, let's do 10 minutes of 3-on-3. And if you can't decide it in that, call it a tie.
Right. I like that too.
Like, I can't. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't even know how many ties there'd be. Yeah. The 10 minutes of 3-on-3. I mean, yeah, the game would end.
I can't see people walking away from a game after watching 10 minutes of 3-on-3, even if it's a tie, feeling like they didn't get their money's worth.
Exactly.
Wait, I'm at the edge of my seat on 3-on-3 all the time. It's crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So congratulations to Canada on the silver medal and, of course, to the USA on the gold medal. Watch out for those Americans, man. Those young players. And you can say, well, the Canadians didn't have guys like Crosby or Marner, while the Americans didn't have Eichel and Austin Matthews.
Man. And Werenski and Hanifin.
Yeah, like the Americans have some really damn good young players. Like the international hockey right now, men's hockey, which is being dominated by Canada, let's be honest, is, I think that could change in about, 4 or 5 years. But
one guy that's taking notice, Kevin Cheveldayoff. Look at all those Americans that he's stacking the cupboards with.
Oh, the Jets are ahead of the curve, right?
Oh, yeah. They're so far ahead of the curve.
Well, I remember the 2015 draft and saying after the draft was over, you know, Jets fans out there, I know you're Jets fans and I know you're Team Canada fans, but which side are you on? Is Canada the best hockey country in the world with the best players, or are the Jets getting it right by drafting Americans? Pick one.
If you're a true fan, you would have been happy to see Roslovic and Foley medal, right? Get the gold medal.
Exactly. And again, as you mentioned, like, stupid Leafs fans getting mad when Austin Matthews tweets the American flag. That's ridiculous.
He plays in Canada now, classless. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Come on, like, do you honestly not think that there would be some fans in this fan base, though, that would lose it on Line A if he tweeted the Finnish flag?
Back to what we were saying earlier, it's just people overreact all the time, and it's hilarious to sit back and watch sometimes.
Twitter is amazing.
It is. It really is.
And Facebook even more from what I hear, though I just can't do it.
I can't do it either. No.
It's bad.
Yeah, I was shocked the first few times I went there, but now I just look at it and it's a really good laugh sometimes. Like, really, really good laugh.
Sometimes I think that Twitter hockey fans are like the Donald Trump supporters of professional sports, where they just make up facts or believe nonsense.
That's dead on.
So other quick pieces of news. We have Comrie getting hurt on the Moose, and what'd they call up at, like, some 45-year-old goalie?
Yeah, some local.
He's a firefighter.
Jamie Phillips couldn't make it in time from Tulsa.
Yeah.
There.
They could have just asked Flaherty to step down and play in that. That would have been good. Hellebuck would get 3 straight shutouts.
It's like, watch how I do it, kid. Let's in 12 goals.
Yeah. Too bad he couldn't just play and relinquish his coaching duties.
Yes. So Pavlik has been getting the starts with the Moose, which I guess makes sense. I guess if it's between Pavlik and calling some guy off the street. Most of the time you take Pavlik, right?
Nine times out of ten.
What I can't believe is, have you noticed this? Like, I follow enough media guys in town here. I don't read their stuff in the papers, but I follow them on Twitter. How much are they tooting Pavlik's horn during this little stretch of decent minor league play? Like, it just seems almost over the top. Have you noticed this?
I've seen some of it. I mean, I saw after the Islanders game, I saw quite a bit of discussion from some members about hey, why give Pavlik a shot? It was never that bad. Like, why not?
Right, but like even like in the past couple of days, like after Hellebuck had put together two pretty good Florida games, it's like every couple minutes at a Moose game, one of the local guys is like, we're 7 minutes in and Pavlik's keeping the Moose in this game. They're down 8-2 in shots. Pavlik, Pavlik, Pavlik. Yet they, they're on a 3-game losing streak, but details.
I see you noting them and saying call them up, right?
Every time.
And they think that you're serious most of the time.
Well, no. If I put it in all caps or in all lowercase, I'm clearly not telling the truth. But I don't know if that's regular Twitter etiquette. But yeah, I cannot believe how many pro Pavlik tweets I've seen from local media. I honestly wondered when they lost Burmistrov to Arizona and they didn't call anybody up. Like, were they going to call up a goalie?
And then things and then Comrie getting hurt just kind of derailed the plans.
I don't know.
Hellebuck's got. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, they've clearly lost confidence in Hutchinson, right?
It looks like it.
So yeah, like I don't know, like it's the, but they need to keep him for the expansion draft. So I could see them parking him in the press box just for his contract.
Oh God.
Could you imagine? I can.
Just Pavlik, Twitter. I'm telling you, we were saying this last week. It would be such a field day, but I don't want it to happen. I really don't. As funny as it would be. Sorry, John, were you going to say something too?
Hellebuck's got better AHL numbers, better NHL numbers. I mean, hey, it's great that Pavlik's finally playing decently in the AHL, but he's got no future as an NHL goalie with this organization anymore. So just, it's great. He's doing good, but whatever, just stop saying call him up. It's not happening. He's 29 years old and he's not a good NHL goalie. It's just the end of the story.
Well, no, logic makes sense, right? You'd want to give your playing time in a season that's starting to look lost to a 29-year-old goalie who doesn't have a contract after this year, who's been terrible for 5 years. It's him who you want to give the time to, not your 23-year-old, as of right now, still goaltender of the future, right?
Well, was it just 2 years ago that Chevalier said that Pavlik was still coming into his own? So,
yep.
Yeah, he's still coming into his own.
Hey, man, he's the starting goaltender right now for the Manitoba Moose. So
he is what we thought he was. He's a decent AHL starter.
There you go. I put on the list of topics no call-ups for Bermy, but I guess we've kind of talked about that. Do we think it's Tanev?
I'd imagine, yeah. Tanev would be the next one.
I saw that they were, one of the local media guys mentioned Howden as having a strong chance. And is it because he's a veteran signed that they don't mind? He wasn't drafted by them, so they don't mind parking him in the press box? I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I guess we'll know tomorrow if they, I mean, they got to call someone up. They don't have anyone, right? They need something.
Well, they're just calling someone up to sit, though. If they've already said Thorburn's playing, which is a joke, when they could put Tanev in or Howden or anybody else in the Moose, except Peluso, maybe.
No, we need him.
Yeah, if according to Twitter.com, Peluso doesn't happen with Peluso on the ice. Line A's, he's okay with if Peluso's on the ice. It's just, oh boy.
That's so dumb.
Incredibly dumb.
In the time that it takes for that play to happen, you think the McCabe is going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, Peluso might come out and beat me up, so I better not do this. I'll just let him skate by me.
And to an even funnier extent, they're saying if Thorburn was on the ice, or Thorburn was playing, it wouldn't happen either. The guy that leads the NHL in fights, but hasn't won one all year, right?
So. Yeah, he also leads. Yeah, he leads the league in losses too.
Oh boy! All right. Anything else you want to chat about before we go to the Ask the Superfans fun? Going once, going twice.
Did anybody read the Chevy expose in the Free Press today?
I haven't yet.
I'm sure you did, right? I'm sure you framed it and put it on your wall.
Absolutely. all part of the process.
Put it in your Chevy, I Heart Chevy scrapbook that you keep? In your hope chest?
You weren't supposed to tell anybody.
did you read it?
I did.
And?
I don't know. If no one else has talked about it, maybe we should talk about it next week if anyone else wants to read it. But it was just more saying a lot of words without actually saying anything.
Really? A fluff piece on Chevy?
Yeah. No, not even a fluff piece. Like, it was just, you know, transcribing the nonsense that he said. But it did sure sound like this year was designed to be another lost year. And I struggle with that still, but you know that. But anyways, maybe we can talk about next week once more people have read it.
All right. Ask the Superfans if you want to get your questions into us. Use the hashtag AskTheSuperFans and tweet us. Our handle is @AIHSuperFans on Twitter. We're still, I don't think we're on Facebook, and I don't really want to go there. We probably should, but ugh. Let's start off with Kat. @PartCat just says, so, Nolan Patrick? You know, Nolan Patrick hasn't been playing this year.
Yeah, he's getting close to returning, I thought I read, maybe?
I heard, last I heard it was going to be shortly after the World Juniors, so, I mean, that's now, so soon, yeah.
I mean, there are other good kids out there. The kid's got to start playing games or... You know, he's gonna get overlooked, which may not be the worst thing. Maybe he'll be great still, right? But hasn't done much this year to show himself off. And Justin Laniuk @Justin17L said, Nico Hischier, which I believe is the guy who's second ranked.
They're switching back and forth, him and Patrick.
So we'll see what happens there.
I was just gonna say, do we really need another forward with that blue line prop?
It's funny because when we had Zach Devine on, he wasn't really talking up this year's draft class. So, you know, if the years to be in this position, a top player is a top prospect still, but not the best year to tank.
Yet they're doing it anyways.
Hashtag is Pomo still a thing? @Fat_TonyBones asks, why does this team always win two in a row when fan anger is finally starting to melt or mount? Is Chevy trolling Arby? they're winning two in a row only because I guess they have the talent, but you know, is it bad coaching? Is it bad character on the team? Bad leadership? You know, I don't want to say bad luck.
Yeah, well, they've had pretty good luck in terms of goals, right? Like, they're bottom five in the league in goals for, but they're in shots for, but they're scoring at a decent rate. Patrick Laine has a lot to do with that, so I guess the luck's going to get even worse, or will get worse.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can see the fan angst. It's a roller coaster, right? On Twitter, they lose one or two badly, then it's a tire fire. If they win two in a row, everything's good again, and then they don't get that third one, and then it's a tire fire again. So it's, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I still think it comes down to coaching and systems. That passive penalty kill, and I saw a quote that Maurice said something about how happy he is with how patient they are staying in their box on the penalty kill. And it's like, well, then if they're doing what you want them to do, that's a problem because they're terrible with that setup.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. That's pretty bad that he's happy with the penalty kill.
I saw. I didn't.
Fifth worst in the league.
I'll see if I can find the tweet, but I'm pretty sure he said he was happy with how patient they stay on the penalty kill.
Oh, I remember that.
Just, they're patient with how the whole team remains when they're giving up one goal for every four power plays. And they're just, you know, they don't get mad about it. They just live with it. It's patience.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a process. All right. We got quite a few from Hanger Hockey at Hanger with an A, HANGAR_hockey. We talked about this a little bit already. Why on earth do you think that Stafford was put on the first line over literally anyone else? Because they don't know what they're doing.
Hopefully trade value, but they're probably just dumb.
Hashtag analysis.
I think it has something to do with their over-reliance / trying to keep their veterans happy. Because they've done this for 6 years. The veterans always get the prime spots. They always get the first power play, and they always get the shootouts.
And right?
Remember when they had Ehlers and Scheifele that were just coming in, these young, talented players with hands that should score on breakaways, yet it was always Ladd, Little, and Wheeler on the shootout to start?
Well, yesterday during the game, the first power play unit that rolls out is the veterans, and this time around, Stafford is with them.
Yeah.
He was on that first power play unit yesterday, and they're clearly the first unit. It's the first one that they roll out, and it's infuriating. Like, as of yesterday, three of the top 20 scorers in the league occupy the Scheifele, Liney, Ehlers line.
Yep.
But they're still not the top line, I guess, which is amazing. If each of you were to meet with Chevy and Maurice right now, what would you tell them?
I tell them that the same nude pictures that Chris Thorburn has of somebody at TNZ at True North, I've got the same exact one, so sign me and put me in the lineup.
I'll
leak them if you don't put me in. So
yeah, just park me in the press box and eat popcorn. That'd be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're not getting into Thorburn. Ryan, what would you say?
I would tell them nice and very nicely that they should resign in disgrace.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Sheveldayoff. You're my hero.
That's not what I say, believe it or not.
Hashtag you know.
Hashtag Chevy knows. Yeah.
Brian, what would you say?
Sell off vets and hire me.
And hire you to do what?
I don't know.
Oh, well. Would you at least have a resume?
Somewhere on my laptop, I do.
Wow. I'm sure they'd hire you. so far,
it just says good at things.
All right.
You can be the social media guy.
Yeah, there you go.
They need somebody.
I think you should just ask them to hire me. I'll be the equipment manager. I'll clean jocks because I know in a couple of years I'll be the assistant general manager.
Ooh.
Okay. What would I tell them? I would ask Paul Maurice, be honest with me and tell me why you're giving these veterans the minutes, the top power play unit, etc. And I'd probably add into that, like, their management's telling you, right? Like, it can't just be you. Seriously? Chevy, I'd say, why didn't you blow this up in year one? Like,
yep.
You know, do I think that the Jets are a good team this year? No. Do I think that things are trending in the right direction? Yes. Do I think that this could have happened 4 years ago? We could have been in this spot where maybe, you know, maybe we start the turnaround then? Yes. It's just frustrating. Like, we're going to be talking about maybe playoffs in year 7 now. That's where it's headed. 7 years is a long time. So that's what I would tell Chevy or ask him. Hashtag is Pomo still a thing again at Fat Tony Bones. How happy will you guys be when Chevy and coaching staff is fired and replaced by Zinger and Uncle Randy?
Well,
Uncle Randy, like Randy Carlyle?
I guess so.
Yeah. Well,
he's already employed. He's in Anaheim. He's not coming here. Although, he will eventually, I guess. No, I'm more thinking that they'll hire, you know, an ex-Moose, like Max Fortunas, to be the next guy, because why not? You've already hired... That has to be the only reason they have Flaherty as the goalie coach.
Howard Chuck is leading the Barrie Colts to a pretty miserable season in the OHL this year.
Yeah, they are bad, eh?
Yeah, they are bad this year. I mean, they've been good for a few years with him there, but this year they're no good. Maybe he'll be the guy, right? We love our former Jets.
You know something? I'd be okay if he came here. That would mean that somebody lost their job, whether it's Maurice or Huddy or anybody.
Hanger Hockey, and he's got quite a few here. He says, why is True North so loyal to their terrible coaching staff? We kind of just talked about that. Is Jets Dog a sandwich? I don't know what the fuck Jets Dog is.
It's this giant hot dog that you can get at the MTS Center. It's like $12. It's enormous.
I mean, I know what it is, but ugh. Sorry, that's kind of what I meant.
It's a sandwich.
It's
a sandwich.
It's so it's at a foot long with pierogies and cheese sauce and onions and bacon and lard.
It's delicious, but it's not a sandwich. Hot dogs are not sandwiches.
let's see here. With Liney out, Hanger Hockey. With Liney out with concussion and a record that doesn't seem to get better, the season really is over, isn't it? Even if Liney was in, I think it's over.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we were talking about it last week before they reeled off two wins in a row. And if they'd won their third in a row, maybe we would have sang a slightly different tune. But it's not like they beat up on, you know, two Florida teams that are playing well. And they just got dummied in the third by a Buffalo Sabres team. And now they're going to miss Laine? Like, yeah, it's...
Well, the Western Conference is a tire fire, right? But, I mean, the Jets are a big part of that. Like, they're one of the teams. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't think playoffs is that realistic anymore at all.
They need... I was looking at sports club stats just because, I mean, I do like some of the other analytic projection sites like... what are the other ones? OMG Domi and Micah.
Ineffective math.
And yeah. What's the other one? There's another one there somewhere. But if you just kind of look at their sports club stats, they can't lose like 20 games the rest of the year, but they still have 40 to go. And they're a 500 team.
And I think most of those, I've seen that they're hovering at like around 30% chance odds of making the playoffs. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, but those projection sites think that the Jets are better than they are, I think. Like, I was having a conversation with someone on Twitter. I forget who it was, but I can't understand how these sites still have the Jets being better than some of the other teams in the West when they've played more games, have the fourth worst losing percentage or points percentage in the league, have the penalty kill and the coaching and the structure that they have. And for years, they've been kind of in analytics darlings, kind of, but the results are always piss poor.
Bad special teams and bad goaltending has been like the Achilles heel, right? Like that's usually the reason why.
But what's changed other than the goalie? I mean, actually, is Hellebuck's actually giving slightly better numbers than Pavlik ever did, except for that one year they snuck in.
We got a lot more of these ass superfans. Holy shit. Ryan Nother asks, rate Shovel Day Off pre-lad trade to date. Wait, isn't that always? Because isn't that pre-lad to now? Anyways, based on what you know now, also who won Kane trade. Okay, I'm gonna try to decipher what he meant here. Number one, who won Kane trade? Jets won the Kane trade, right?
Yeah.
We got rid of a guy that's got, one of the worst, for sure.
You know, I'm not over the moon over the guys that are playing right now, except Armia is doing fine, but he's not a superstar, he's just a good player. But Ross Levick could turn the tide, like guys that are filling your roster up. But the lad trade, so the lad trade was for Dano and for
a eventually pick, Logan
but,
Stanley.
But turned into Stanley.
Yeah, a Dano and then Logan Stanley is what you got in the Ladd trade. So the trade itself, you needed to do it.
Dano's good.
Dano's good. He maybe get lost in the expansion draft, but he's there right now. Logan Stanley, I mean, come on. That's not as much about the trade for Ladd, which I think was a fine trade. It's just a bad pick. That's a trade I
want to... Yeah, so in terms of trade, yeah, it was a good trade for sure.
I mean, the trade that I'd want to rank him on in that whole situation is, again, 22 and 36 for 17 and 79 and then picking Logan Stanley. Yuck. Still, even though despite being at the game yesterday, that Logan Stanley moment is still the most miserable I've been in that Buffalo building. Justin Laniak again at Justin17L. We all know it's going to be Stafford, but who should really move up to Liney's spot when he's out? Patan, Armia, Connor? If we were to vote, who should it be? Is it Armia? That's who I'd vote for.
I'd say Patan.
I'd say Patan as well, yeah. I'm going Patan.
I'd say Connor, to be perfectly honest. He's the... Armia has 6 career goals.
Well, if I'm calling Connor up, I'm probably putting him with Wheeler instead and maybe putting Perreault on that line. Because Connor actually had a couple good games there. I think it was with Patan and Wheeler. Like, it was one of the rare games where he didn't have bad possession numbers. Right?
Yeah,
like,
right before he got hurt, he was putting up really much improved numbers.
Yeah, like Wheeler and Little would be able to carry that. Would be able to carry him, I think, so...
Sure. No, but I think if you're going to put someone in the top six, I don't want Stafford there. I don't want Armia there. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's either Patan or Connor. And yeah, I don't know.
I guess someone that actually has a top six future.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you may as well put Connor in that position because it sure seems like this year is just another year of learning. It's a process.
I'm going to add an addendum to that question. My own ass is super fans. Who's the next guy that goes in the top six when Perreault gets hurt?
Low blow.
He's Mr. Glass. His extension hasn't even kicked in yet. I keep saying it. I like Perreault. I like the way he plays. But he can't keep playing the way he plays if he's going to keep leaving. Every game he's laboring to the bench in the third period.
Well, probably like he plays like he's 6'4", but he's closer to 5'4", right? Like it's
right, but he's—I mean, he's not old yet, but he's not getting any younger, and he's already breaking. Apparently, breaking news: Matthew Perreault.
I guess to answer the question, though, I'll say Thorburn.
Right.
I think double Peluso. Peluso, call him up.
Jets
just for the Buffalo game, though, right?
Yeah. Well, they don't play Buffalo again. Up. They should call him up, especially when they play Buffalo next year, because they don't play Buffalo again. Buffalo, by the way, when you go back to the Kane trade, the one thing that we can point out, Buffalo is, what, 5-0 against the Jets since the trade?
Kane and Bogo win again.
Yeah.
Remember that meme, hey guys, can I come back? Well.
Yeah. All right, so now we've got Jet Strolling at Jet Strolling asks, should I delete my account? Yes. You know what? No, because he's got that NHL lockout avi on it, and if he keeps it, I'm cool with him sticking around.
No, yeah, he should stick around.
Andy at Andy_B_Jets. Now that Patrick Liney has been knocked out of the game, are you excited to watch more Jake McCabe?
See, I'm glad he mentioned this because there's somewhat of a myth going around that McCabe is like this horrible defenseman that's just got marginal NHL value and he's a goon. Like, he's not a horrible player by any means. Like, he's a solid, he's a steady, you know, second pairing, third pairing defenseman, right? Like,
Jet fans go ahead.
I don't really care if I see McCabe play, but if I was a Buffalo fan, yeah, I'd be happy to have him in my lineup, so.
Yeah, Jet fans are acting like McCabe is a Ben Chiarot.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not a bet. Like, he's locked up at, like, it's under $2 million, I'm pretty sure, until, like, 2019 or something, and he's an RFA upon it. Like, that would be a great guy for the Jets to have.
Yep.
Cheap left-handed D, instead of drafting Lucas Sutter in 2012, right? Like, he's no Dustin Byfuglien, but I mean, he would really help shore up that left-handed D depth.
Let's see here. Still got a few more. Ask a superfan, should Jets sell the vets and hard tank, or is this current core actually close? Clock is ticking on Buff and Wheels Prime. This is Justin Landick again.
Clock's ticking. If Liney is out an extended period of time, like, start selling. But yeah. I've been saying 5 years, so...
I've advocated before for selling Buff or Wheeler. I think somebody should, especially if Liney's out for, like, a month or two.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at how good Buff and Wheeler were last year. And we completely wasted that season for them. Look at how good Wheeler is this year. And we're completely wasting that season.
Number one war player.
I know. He's unbelievable. And we're completely wasting him again. And, I mean, Buff hasn't been as good this year. And, I mean... I've been worried about him and his knees for years, and now that he's got his retirement deal, who knows how he's going to look going forward.
I'm just pulling up cap friendly here. Winnipeg Jets, by the way, with the fourth lowest payroll right now in the league. So also
their points percentage in the league.
So just when we're talking about, you know, some, you know, trading off some vets, Blake Wheeler still has 2 years on his contract after this season at $5.6 million. He's 30 years old. Brian Little, 1 year left on his contract after this one at $4.7 million. He's 29. Obviously Buff has, you know, this is year one of a 5 year, $7.6 million contract. To me, like, the only guy that kind of might be on my radar for trading is Little right now. And he's probably my favorite he's not my favorite of the three, but I like Brian Little, but I don't know.
Well, we've got Patan and Roslovic coming up soon, right? So, Patan's already up, but in terms of, you know, being an actual, like, middle six center, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, he makes the most sense out of anybody.
And I mean, Toby Enstrom, you could put on that list, but except A, he can't be traded because he has a no movement clause, and B, you have nobody after him, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're dead meat.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it'd be hard to trade Byfuglien. Like, it's scary. You look at the offensive numbers with our defensemen. Like, this team would just be producing no offense at all without Byfuglien. It's scary to think of what they'd be like without him. So,
I will say this. I mean, Pavlik, no one picked him up for free, so who knows if you're going to get a trade for him at all. But if you don't get anything for Drew Stafford, even a seventh, like, if you just let that trade deadline pass and he's still there, or if you re-sign him, like, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Oh, God.
That would be the worst.
All right, we're really close here. One more, I believe, from Harrison Lee at HL Living Loco. Why do the hockey gods like to get Jets fans' hopes up just to brutally butcher them into oblivion?
When were their hopes up?
Well, maybe he's talking about the average Jets fan. When the Jets win a game or in the off season.
I don't know. I guess the hopes were up after that statement game in November against Chicago. Remember that one?
Yeah, and then they went and lost five in a row.
Yeah, but there was a statement made. That was such an interesting talking point that week. Oh, I laughed at that.
Of course. it's just our lot in life as Jets fans to be in this position. You know, one day, hopefully before we all are gone, they'll do something amazing in the playoffs. But literally, like, the years are passing. Like, win a game, yeah. The years are passing, though. Like, it's been a long freaking time. I was telling somebody, we should have a 30th year anniversary party for, when the Winnipeg saw a second round playoff series. Cause it's 30 years this season. I know some people be like, yeah, they weren't around for 15 years, though. So, well, they were around for 15 years. Anyways, on that happy note, thank you again, Ask the Superfans. Use the hashtag at AIH Superfans on Twitter. Anything else before we sign off for this week? All right.
I'm excited to see Frolic return to town, but I'm also excited to see the Heritage jerseys on Monday.
Ah, yeah, the red pants are back.
Yeah, red pants. So good.
Losing fashion. Losing style.
There you go.
Hot take. I like the Jets' current uniforms better.
Oh, well then. What? That is a hot take. Are you kidding me, dude? All right.
Oh, that's dead serious.
That's the hottest take I've... Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all floored at this point. What? Holy crap. All right, well, well, since Brian has shocked us all, I guess we'll sign off from here. So I am Alan on Twitter. You can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Ryan, RB_18.
This is John. You can find me on Twitter at JMall95.
And I'm Brian. You can find me at Brian from AIH, and I expect all of your hate tweets.
Yeah, definitely. Go oh, yeah. after him on that awful yeah, jersey.
That's a hideous, hideous take. go to AIH Superfans again on Twitter to chat with us all week. We'll probably be back in a week. So until then, thanks, and go Jets, go!